Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a couple of random observations before I begin my message today. The first is, I would have been really happy if the lectionary had thrown up this lesson next week or the week after. And the reason for that is it is a tough passage. One of the commentaries I consulted contained a piece by the author whose mother was a devout Catholic, and she goes to church on a very regular basis. And when she saw this passage, she said, clearly something is wrong. Why is it in the Bible? And a little bit closer to home, and this is going to be a little diversion here, but Rachel and I once went to hear a preacher who told us a story that whenever he mentioned his wife in the homily or sermon, he had to put a dollar in a jar. And this is an instance where I should have a jar to put a dollar in. Yesterday, Rachel asked me what I was going to be preaching on, and I told her this passage from Matthew 10, and I told her some of what the passage said. And when I told her, Jesus told his followers that sons were going to be at it with their fathers and daughters with their mothers and families were not going to be happy, and that he brought a sword and not peace, she looked at me and said, I think, good luck with that. Now, that's a fair reaction. Good luck with that. But that's the text we have. And this passage is part of what is known as the missionary discourse in Matthew's gospel. And in these passages, Jesus is teaching his followers what they should be looking for and anticipating if they are going to be his disciples. Now, I've talked about being a recruiter before. I will tell you that it is not a very effective way to recruit people to your cause by saying, people call me the devil and they will call you worse. You're going to be at loggerheads with your family. That really doesn't attract people. So why did Jesus say these things? Why, at least, does tradition record Jesus as saying these things? Because they are true. So even though this is being recorded and I've got a bunch of witnesses, I will deny saying this in a couple of weeks' time. But there are times when we as parents need to accept that our children will have different views from us. They will like different politicians. They will have different political views. They'll like different music. They'll like to dress differently. That's okay. And again, I'll deny I said this, so Chip, you can ignore this part, but it's true. God gave us brains. We each need to use them. We need to figure out what makes sense to us. Now, the corollary to the having a brain is sometimes we form attachments to things that we need to let go. And that's what Jesus is talking about, having the sword and not bringing peace. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to be prepared to cut ties, to tick people off. The church says things that people don't like to hear. The church has been doing that for 2,000 years, and people don't like what we have to say. And you can look at the social justice teachings. You can look at the commandments about how we should live our lives in Scripture. There are things in here that will alienate people, that will annoy them. And if we are going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to be prepared to annoy people. We come with the sword. We don't bring peace. So the banner on the front door, I talked about this before, and we hung it knowing that it might elicit a negative reaction. So far, I've only heard one response from someone outside this community, and it was positive. And it's nice to hear positive things from people. But we were prepared to get some phone calls or letters from people who didn't like it. And Brian just confirmed that we've not received anything like that. So we can give thanks that at least our neighbors here in the Upper Valley are okay with our banner. And that's good. But we say things that people don't like, not because we want to be contrary, but because we feel a need to speak the truth. Now, I have opinions on things that I am sure that not everyone here would agree with. And I'm not going to tell you what they are, because I want to preserve our good working relationships. We don't need to pick fights just for the sake of picking fights. Sometimes we need to know when to hold our tongue. And I have to do that with my sister and brother-in-law a lot, because they inhabit a very different portion of the political map from me. And they've said things, they believe things that I think are just wrong. I know they are wrong, but I'm not going to keep telling them that, because it goes in one ear and comes out the other, and it doesn't make a stop in the brain. I hope, I pray that someday their eyes will be opened, that they might recognize that there are different ways to see things. And I don't value them more than I value Jesus, but I don't think Jesus has come to throw out family values. Jesus values our families. I've said this before, Jesus was a good Jew. He knew his scripture and he knew his 10 commandments. And he could have quoted from Exodus 20, "Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother." It's a pretty simple commandment. He would have known it. But clearly Jesus had some complicated relations with his family. We never hear anything about his father after his birth. His mother seems to have been a saint who put up with a lot, endured a lot. His brothers, we don't know how many there were, but the one we read about in scripture ultimately followed in his footsteps. But I can't imagine that there weren't disagreements about what to say and to do and how to organize things. Jesus knew our families were important to us. But sometimes we need to say, I need to do something different. Sometimes we need to look at what we believe in our hearts. It's not a matter of, well, I'm going to be a Red Sox fan and you're a Yankees fan, and so I never want to talk to you again. Frankly, this season, we should all acknowledge that both the Red Sox and the Yankees are really poor teams. But around issues, they're deep and important. And I don't like to get too involved in politics here. I don't have much patience for people who are fans of the former president. And you know which one I'm talking about. So whenever we say the former president, everyone thinks of the guy who just held office. And there are some things he did during his administration that made sense. He had some policies that were okay, but he was an awful human being. If you want to disagree with me, come talk to me after worship. And I think you'll have a really hard time in convincing me otherwise. Now, I'll say this publicly because this is the kind of thing the church needs to do. And it's not so much that we want to get involved in arguments over whether it's our First Amendment right to say whatever we choose, or if the IRS should leave us alone, or if they don't like our opinions, they should respect them, or they should take away our tax breaks. Sometimes there are things we in the church need to say. And you may wonder why we have the rainbow on our banner out front. It should be pretty obvious to everyone here. Every human being is God's child. There are no asterisks. There are no clauses saying, I love everyone except for those folks. If you think someone has sinned, look at your own sin first. And I guarantee you, you have sinned. I have sinned. We all sin. some of us more than others. And in the church, we need to confess our sins. Now, it doesn't mean we need to put on the proverbial hair shirt and flagellate ourselves and confess our wrongdoing to everyone all the time. For all of its weaknesses, for all of its failings, I think the church has been a very valuable institution in human affairs. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think that. But it's true. The church represents things. And whether we let the represent the things that we believe are admirable or the things that we are think are not so admirable is a choice we have to make. So I think I told you about the DEI meeting I went to at the Opera House a couple of weeks ago. And I was sitting with a bunch of folks from the arts community. I had no idea as to what they think about the church. And I thought a little bit more about this since then, and I suspect the banner we used to have hanging over our front door had tipped our hand a little bit. But there was still this fear on my part that they might have thought, he's a minister, he's at a church. I don't like that. Now, I was bringing my own biases into that conversation. And I confessed my discomfort. And then I said that we would love to be involved in sponsoring the pride programs that took place. And everybody was nice and gracious. And there were a couple of other members of our church there too, including Rachel, and John Stott was there as our church council member and a Opera House board member. So people knew that not everyone in the church has a particular set of views. And I'll be blunt about this. We're not all knuckle draggers. Some of us actually believe that stuff about loving our neighbors. Do you love your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor? That's not a really out of line question today. Now, some of you are old enough that you remember when everyone knew their neighbors. And of course, that was back when you lived in a black and white world and the Cleavers lived down the street from you. But we don't live in that world anymore. We're more concerned with what's going on our phones. But knowing our neighbors and loving them is what we're called to do in the church. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything right now, but I am going to ask you to think about what your priorities are and what you value in your life. Are there things that you believe are so important that you are willing to go out and talk about them? That you're willing to go out and march for them? Are there? I see one head nodding. I see another nodding. Another. So maybe you need to be jollied along a little bit. I'm not telling you all to put on signs or sandwich boards and march down the street saying you support this position or you oppose that position. But when you hear someone saying something absolutely crazy, and I would modify that with an adjective that starts with the word be, say something. We were not called to bring peace, but a sword. And it was not us who were called to do that, it was Jesus. Yes, we talk about Jesus as a Prince of Peace. And we like to think about Jesus as being this cuddly, loving guy, sort of from the 60s, not too out there. We talk about Jesus as our brother. But Jesus is so much more than that. And Jesus rocked the boat. This is where I'm going to double back to the Hebrew Bible here. But we hear the story of Hagar, who is the first woman who speaks in the Bible to God. And she is driven out of the only home she has known with her baby. And God hears her. God listens to her. God cares for her. Now, I'm not saying that you should expel your tenant or a family member and expect them to go be fed by God. Doesn't work that way. But it did back then. And we are now called to be Jesus' hands and feet. So we see people without food and water, we are to provide the food and water. When we see people without clothing, we're supposed to clothe them. When we see people without housing, we are to provide them with a house. So Phil, I'm going to speak about Gloria for a moment, and I don't have a jar here for you, but one of the wonderful things Gloria did was help drive their garden, which you've heard about in the past. And she would sell produce from the garden. And she would use that money to support local causes. That's the kind of thing we're called to do. So I'm not going to ask you to think about what would Jesus do. I'll just tell you to be like Gloria. I could tell you to be like Laura Place. You remember her? I could tell you to be like so many members of our church community who love their neighbors, who care for the community, and who are doing the work of God. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the faithful throughout the ages and all they have done and taught us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.